Well, I've been looking forward to this because I've not talked to this gentleman in quite some time. When I was at WABC and WMCA in New York, when I was at WWDB in Philadelphia, over the years of this long career that I've enjoyed, I always looked forward to speaking with Alan Dershowitz. Now, you might say, well, Paul, you're conservative and Alan is clearly liberal. That's very true. But what Alan Dershowitz is, he is a man of principle. And frankly, that's gotten him in trouble in these troubling times. In fact, his 50th book is The Price of Principle, Why Integrity is Worth the Consequences. Alan Dershowitz, it's Paul W. Smith, and it is an honor to catch back up with you and to talk with you. Good morning.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to reunite with you as well. I remember our days back in ABC, I think it was, right?
Probably. That was, that was one of the places, along with the ABC Radio Network and WABC. But here you are as the number one New York Times bestselling author, one of America's most influential legal scholars. And there is a tendency now, and you dive right into it, it's in politics, it's in academia, it's in the media, it's everywhere. Even in the courts of law, principle gets punished and partisan hypocrisy gets rewarded. And that is a very bad road to be on for a country.
And it is the road. Here I am on Martha's Vineyard this morning. I've been coming here for 53 years, and they won't let me speak at the Martha's Vineyard Library. For years, I was their most popular speaker. And then they decided to cancel me because I defended President Trump and a lot of the people on Martha's Vineyard, particularly in Chilmark, that don't appreciate the fact that I defended him. And that's important because libraries are supposed to be open to everybody. If a conservative library in Texas were to ban pro-life, pro-choice speakers or anti-racist speakers, they'd be heck to pay. But in Chilmark, it's okay if liberals do the same thing. Or a few weeks ago, I was invited to an engagement party of a friend's daughter. Yesterday, we got an email saying, please don't come, because a number of people said, if you show up, we won't come. We're boycotting him. So, you know, that's social. That's okay. I can deal with that. But libraries, public libraries, what are they going to do next? Decide which books we can read?
Well, we've seen that, especially at universities, for quite some time. And only some of us squawked about that. But here you go again. Here you go again, getting people to be upset with you when you are merely standing on principle and explaining how bad it might very well be to have our FBI weaponized for political reasons against a former president by basically raiding his home when they really didn't need to.
They didn't need to. They could have simply issued a subpoena. That's the way it's normally done. Then a judge could go through each of the papers, say, look, this has never been classified. This was classified, but now it's declassified. This is subject to privilege, executive privilege, lawyer-client privilege, Fifth Amendment privilege, if the president wanted to assert it. But when you sweep down and swoop up everything and put everything in, you know, grab 12 boxes, go to your wife's closet, clothes closet, to see if something is hidden there, that's not what America is supposed to be like. A search warrant is supposed to be the last alternative, not the first alternative.
And we've been told, now we don't know for sure, but we have been led to believe the president and his people have in fact been cooperating. And the reality too is that when he took off on the plane, he was still, when he left, he was still president for I don't know how many more hours, and he had the right and ability to declassify anything he wanted to.
Right, and the Justice Department has no idea what he declassified or didn't declassify. They also really have no idea what he took with him and what he didn't take with him. And for them to have had a search warrant, according to the Constitution, it has to provide with great specificity what they're seeking and why they're seeking it. And, you know, never before in history has a records violation or classified violation of this kind resulted in search, seizure, and criminal investigation. Consider, for example, Hillary Clinton and Sandy Berger, the former National Security Advisor. He put classified material into his sock.
His underwear.
Yeah.
He stuffed it in his underwear, Alan. I remember it well.
Yeah. He was a friend of mine, and I like Hillary Clinton. She's a friend of mine, but she shouldn't go around wearing a hat that says, "But her emails." You know, that's not a good argument. In fact, it's relevant that her emails were treated differently. Now, you know, she paid a heavy price. She may have lost the presidency, at least in part, because of James Comey's ill-advised statement about, you know, rebuking her for doing it. He should have either indicted her or not indicted her, but he didn't indict her. And he didn't search her. And, you know, there was a much stronger basis for searching the Clinton home than for searching the Trump home. They had servers in the basement, and there were thousands of emails. And
classified information that she had no right or ability to declassify.
And, you know, people respond to that by saying, oh, that's the argument of, you know, what's the difference? Or why is it, why should we do one thing rather than the other? But, you know, that's a very important argument in a democracy. You have to have equal protection of the law. Look, I don't want either of them prosecuted. I don't think this should be a prosecutable offense or something that you engage in a search and seizure. There should be a subpoena in both cases, and there should be administrative regulations. But you know, the criminal justice system has been weaponized. In my book, The Price of Principle, I go through chapter and verse how the criminal justice system has been turned into a weapon. Just in recent years, we know arrests were made in the case of Paul Manafort, in the case of Navarro, in the case of Stone. Usually arrests aren't made in those situations. I'll get a call from a U.S. attorney saying, oh, by the way, your client has been indicted. Can you bring him in on Tuesday morning? And I'll say, you know, Tuesday's a little inconvenient. How about Wednesday? He'll say, fine, just bring him in on Wednesday. We'll put him in front of the magistrate. We'll get bail and we'll proceed to the trial. That's the way it's done. They're not shackled. They're not handcuffed. They're not put in solitary confinement. That's just not America. And it's a terrible thing. And that's why principle is so important. Look, I'm a liberal. You're a conservative. But we share a common love of the Constitution, due process, free speech. The enemies of America are the extremists on both sides, the extreme kind of neo-Nazi reactionaries who marched in Charlottesville, and the extreme leftists who have taken over our colleges and universities, our libraries, our media. I'll give you an example. Professor Lawrence Tribe, my former colleague, he gets on CNN without any criticism. He says, I am urging my former student, Merrick Garland, to indict the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, for attempting to murder Vice President Pence. Now, that's laughable. If a student put that in an exam, I give him a C minus with grade inflation out of great generosity, and I tell him he was in the wrong profession. But this is Professor Lawrence Tribe seeking the indictment of the former president for attempted murder.
It's scary. Let me just say, it's the library's loss that banned you, and the book worth picking up, your 50th, maybe the most important one you've ever written, Alan Dershowitz. It's The Price of Principle, Why Integrity is Worth the Consequences. Alan, so nice talking with you. I hope not as much time goes by before we get to talk again.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 50th book. And this is really important and timely, The Price of Principle. They tried to cancel him. He is really uncancelable, really. Stand by for news. And WJR's All Talk with Tom Jordan, Kevin Dietz. I want you to go on out and make it a great rest of the day. We'll see you in the morning from 6 till 9. Starts at 5. Regards, Paul W. Smith.